Now we come to the experience of the church here. And this, again, is very important. The church now should have an experience. And I believe in an experience. But what is the experience? Here it is. Be not drunk with wine, in which is riot or dissoluteness, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Now, this is not a dry discourse against the evils of drunkenness. Although drunkenness was the besetting sin of the ancient world, and it's the besetting sin of the hour, and it may actually be the thing that will destroy America today. But this is not a lecture about that. But Paul actually is making a comparison. He says, don't be drunk with wine. Why? It'll stimulate you temporarily. It will energize the flesh, but it'll certainly let you down, and it leads to profligacy, dissoluteness, and it finally eventuates in desperation and despair and the delirium tremens. That's the direction it'll take you. Now, Paul says, don't be drunk with wine. That's not the thing that you need. Now, a great many people today feel a need of something. And I think that explains the cocktail hour. That explains the bar room and not being a child of God, why they have no resource, no recourse at all. They have no place to turn. There are no resources for them. Now, the child of God is told, don't be drunk with wine, but you're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this, I think, is the experience. Now, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I think that you find a correspondence, actually, in the man that's drinking. The man that's drinking is possessed by the wine. You can tell a drunk man. And the Holy Spirit should be the one to possess the believer. This divine intoxication that's needed today. Not excessive emotionalism, but that which furnishes the dynamic for living an accomplishment of doing something for God. In other words, the believer's walk and his being filled with the Spirit are closely related here. He says here that you're to walk carefully, circumspectly, by the way, as we have it. Walk carefully and be filled with the Spirit. They're related. And these are the commands that are given to the believer relative to the Holy Spirit. You're never commanded to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're told that you are baptized the moment you trust Christ. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. How do we do that? By some effort on our part? No. Your faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit regenerates you, and the Holy Spirit indwells you, as we've seen here. The Holy Spirit seals you, and the Holy Spirit baptizes you, puts you in the body of a believer. But now you need a filling of the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, those that were gathered yonder on that day, they had all of these performed for them, but they had to serve. They needed to serve Christ, and we are told they were filled with the Spirit. And that was the experience that enabled them to witness on that day. Now, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I think, is probably as simple as driving in a filling station, as many of us do. I drive in the filling station, and I say, fill it up. And I think it's to start out in the morning with the Lord and say, Lord, I want to walk today in the Spirit. I can't do it myself. I need your power. I need your help. And that you start out that day by asking for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's something that's dreadfully needed by believers, and that we today are to be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you were filled with the Spirit yesterday and last week, that won't do for today. If I may go back to the filling station again, I drove into the filling station the other day here in Southern California, and a friend of mine that runs it, I said, fill it up. The next day I came in and I said to him, fill it up. He said, where in the world have you been? Oh, I said, I've been really out moving. I said, I drove down to Yucca Valley. I was down there speaking at a sunrise service, and I had church services, and I've just got back. You see, friends, when you're filled with the Spirit, that means that you will just be doing something for God, walking in the Spirit, and that doesn't mean that you'll have enough for tomorrow. You need another infilling for tomorrow. That old gas tank needs filling up, you see. Now, that's the reason some people can be so mightily used of God one day and feel so empty the next. And I've had that feeling, I'm sure that you have. That means we need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, what will it do? It's going to enable you to walk in the Spirit, and you may stumble and fall, but the way my little grandson learned to walk was by falling on his nose, and he's got a bruised spot on his forehead and on his nose. You know why? He was learning to walk. And the child of God is to get up and try it again, because that's what he does. And one of these days, he's going to be a good walker. And God wants you and me to be that. He wants us to get to the day that when he doesn't have to spend all the time burping us. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit. Now, when we're filled with the Spirit, what's one of the evidences? Speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And it's a good thing that the Spirit of God said speaking one to another. Because of the fact, if it said singing, that would leave me out. But this is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I think psalms are from the book of Psalms. I think all of those were set to music, as many of you saw when we went through the book of Psalms. And hymns were men's compositions on a very high plane for the glory of God. And spiritual songs were less formal than either psalms or hymns. And I don't think they were rock either, by the way. Probably some were composed as the person was singing. I'm not sure but what that was true in that day. So that you have here this manifestation. It'll bring joy into your life. Now, if I may carry through the figure here of being not drunk with wine, I've noticed in all the motels that we stay in and hotels across the country, they have what they call a happy hour. And that means you go in at 5 o'clock, and if you spend an hour sitting on a bar stool, why, you'll be sociable by 6 or 7 o'clock and will be able to go in and be fit to live with for a little while. And I've seen them go in to those places, and I'll be honest with you, they didn't look happy when they went in, and they didn't look happy when they came out either. But they call it the happy hour. Now, I saw this up in Medford, Oregon first, and now I see it in other places. Now, some places are calling it the attitude adjustment hour. Well, believe me, we sure need an attitude adjustment hour. And one of the things that needs to be done is the child of God should be filled with the Spirit that he might radiate the joy of the Lord. John says that one of the reasons that he had written what he did was that our joy might be full, and we might have fellowship with him, and our joy might be full. And I think we ought to have a good time. I think that there ought to be fun time in the church. And I don't mean some silly period, but I mean that the joy of the Lord ought to be there. And friends, it can only come through the filling of the Holy Spirit.